Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Welcome back, yakkers. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
Hope so. Busy as usual, yeah. But what's new?
Yeah. In fact, we're not on the weekend right now.
No, we're actually having to record this way earlier than normal because someone's going to go live at work.
Well, sometimes I have to do what I have to do.
Yeah, whatever.
So I don't care.
See you in about a week.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Anyways.
On to the show.
Yes.
We have new Twitter followers.
Alrighty.
So we have Scott Gatiff.
Hopefully you're not butchering this.
Yeah. Aaron Strasberg.
Mm-hmm.
And now 10 grandkids.
Yep, so hopefully you said all those correctly.
Well, the last one, I'm pretty sure I did.
Well, that one's a whole lot easier, but yeah. It's cool that we get more all the time.
Yeah, so if you want to follow us, you can follow us at Secular Yakking on Twitter, and you'll get your name read on air.
Oh, yay!
Also, I was on a different podcast this week.
Yes, you did an interview.
Yeah, I did an interview with Atheist Nomads, which is supposed to drop on Thursday.
Right.
So by the time you hear this, it's already out.
Right.
Unless you're a patron and you're listening to it before Thursday, which is unlikely.
Maybe not. Know.
Anyway, so you can catch that interview on atheistnomads.com. I had a great time doing it. Wes and Dustin are really great guys. Really fun interview.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
I know that.
Sorry.
Oh, well. Maybe next time.
We'll see.
So, on with the show.
Please do.
So, they have a real tinfoil hat.
Real?
Real tinfoil hat.
Like as in selling commercial kind of thing?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, tinfoil hats are usually worn by conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Who strongly believe the government is reading their minds or trying to control them or alien waves.
Or, as I say, the aliens.
Aliens, right? But a new startup has designed a hipper version that claims to be able to protect millennials from unhealthy electromagnetic fields such as Wi-Fi and cell phone signals.
People actually wear these.
Well, they look like beanie caps.
So but made of foil.
No, they're not made of foil.
Metal?
Yeah, they've got some sort of special thread in them that's supposed to block radio signals.
So they're wearing metal on their head.
Maybe, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's called Shield Headwear, and they're launching a new line of beanies and caps to defend our brains from harmful radiation.
I wonder if they actually sell a bunch of these.
Well, it's a Kickstarter right now, and they've raised a lot of money.
Maybe.
At first, I thought it was a joke.
Right.
So I ignored it, and then I was like, well, they got a lot of money. Maybe they're not a hoax.
So they took the whole foil hat to the next level.
Yeah. Well, the company claims the hat reflects signals from cell phones, Wi-Fi routers, microwaves, and blocks the majority of waves transmitted from electrical devices.
Uh-huh.
I have an issue with that.
Okay.
So it only protects the top of the head. What about your face?
What about the rest of your body, your major organs?
It goes in through the eyes, right? So this little hat's not really going to protect you that much.
Your brain, that's about it?
Maybe.
But what about your other organs is kind of my question. If that even works in the first place.
I don't know. Well.
Do they have proof that this works?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
In fact, there was a study from MIT in 2005. Uh-huh. It was an unofficial study. It was a bunch of guys messing around with the equipment. Well, not messing around with the equipment, but using equipment to test something about tinfoil hats.
Oh, okay.
And in fact, they did this experiment with some really good equipment.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that wearing a tinfoil hat actually increases the radio signals in your head.
See, that makes more sense to me.
By as much as 30 dB.
See,
which is 1,000 times stronger.
Oh, it's that much. Yeah. I didn't think it was that much. But see, that's what I would have thought. Yeah. I would have thought it would have intensified it.
It causes the the radio waves or microwaves or whatever waves you get in there
right.
to bounce around inside your head.
It's like a little microwave.
And there's no real evidence that these things cause any damage anyway.
So it's kind of doing the opposite of what right. they want.
Yeah, I don't know what has gotten in these guys' head. Maybe they've had too many radio waves.
Too much time on their hand.
I don't know. Too much cell phone use.
Sure, because they need a hat.
Yeah.
To protect them from the cell phone use.
Yeah, real tinfoil hats are now out there.
And they can get one when...
And you won't be able to tell the crazies now because they look just like regular hats.
That's what I was saying. It's just sewn in, right? Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
All righty. Well, you also have those magnetic bracelets.
Yeah, the copper bracelets.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
Don't even get me started on that stuff.
So, it's all nuts.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on.
Anyways, I have good news.
All righty.
An atheist gave an invocation at the Granville, Michigan City Council meeting this week.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. His name was Stephen Belstra. I hope I got that right.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some audio.
Please do.
I just want to thank Mayor Miles when I asked him to give an invocation. He was very receptive and very open, so that was great. So thank you, Mayor Miles and this Granville City Council for having me speak today. My name is Stephen Belstra, and I'm not an ordained minister or priest of any faith. I request from our council and our community that we don't turn towards faith or religion to guide our governmental decisions, or rather goodwill towards all people in our community. I speak for the minorities in the area who identify as being secular humanists, atheists, and one of the fastest growing groups in America, the non-religious. Granville contains many different people who have different beliefs, traditions, cultures, all of which we want to be considered when making decisions in our community. I ask that for today and all future meetings that we can approach decisions this way. But it isn't just in our local city council meetings where this should apply, but in all other aspects of human interaction. 2015 will be remembered as a year that major human rights decisions were made, like the Obergefell versus Hodges case, which granted state recognition to all same-sex couples. This decision by the Supreme Court of the United States is a great example of what I'm alluding to. It's in our best interest as a community to view all of our citizens as equals, regardless of their beliefs of an afterlife or their beliefs about human sexuality. So what I ask of my local city council is that you govern with reason and empathy towards all people, regardless of the church that I do or don't attend, the person that I marry, or the beliefs that you may or may not share with other citizens of the community. Thank you, Councilor. Thank you.
So that was a really good invocation.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that there's starting to get more of those out there.
Right. And as an invocator myself, I thought he did a rather good job.
Yeah. How many have you done now?
Four.
Four? Yeah. Okay.
Four.
And the one at that includes the one at the Capitol?
Yeah, it includes one at the state Capitol.
Oh, the state Capitol, yeah. But no, I think it's good that more and more secular invocations are being given.
Right. Well, I like that he included the same-sex marriage case.
Right.
And he was very inclusive in his invocation.
Yeah.
The very, very good humanist.
Which, you know, that's how I think, you know, secular, humanist, whatever, you know, non-religious invocation should be. It should be all-inclusive because that's kind of the whole point.
Right.
I mean, that's the whole point of giving a secular invocation because it's equality for all.
Right.
Not just, you know, because most of these invocations are basically listening to a little Bible thump.
Right. I mean, so it's listening to some guy pray to his
deity. Or yeah,
it. I've heard tons of them, and it's just.
And some of them get like, you know, might as well start passing around the plate soon.
Yeah,
I mean, truly,
I've heard some go that long.
Which don't they have time limits?
Usually, they have like a 3-minute time limit.
Oh wow!
And I have, yeah, because when I was doing research for the one I did in Oak Harbor, they have a 3-minute time limit, and one guy went on for like 6 minutes, and they invited him back, and he did it again.
Yeah, and like I said, the majority of these are always, you know, praying to some deity.
Right.
Every single time. So it's nice to see, you know, slowly but surely, you know, little baby steps.
Yeah, hopefully we get a lot more of these this year. And
year to come.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the beginning of the year. You never know.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
I might give another one. Who knows?
I don't doubt that you will.
I might have to write a letter.
Of course you do.
But I suppose we could move on from there.
Yes. Texas. I'm interested in this one. Yeah.
So we're going to go back to Texas for a couple minutes.
Yeah. There's always good stuff coming from Texas.
Always the best from Texas.
And this one's a goodie.
Texas Christian claims she diverted tornado to another neighborhood.
That's good.
So we talked last week about the weird weather and the big tornadoes in
Texas. Yeah.
Well, during that, a Texas woman says her Christian faith gave her power to redirect tornado away from her home.
Just some Christian woman, that's it? Oh, no? Yeah. Okay.
Sabrina,
interrupt you.
Okay.
How did she even get the publicity about this?
I'm not sure, but it made it.
Oh, okay.
I think...
Interview?
Yeah, probably interviewing.
Okay.
So, Sabrina Lowe of Rolette said 10 family members were visiting her apartment Saturday when they heard distinctive train noise of the approaching tornado. That is when she says she prayed for the tornado to go somewhere else.
So, throw it onto someone else and cause harm to them.
Here's the actual quote.
Okay.
We actually went outside and started commanding the winds because God had given us authority over the winds, the airways. And we just began to command this storm not to hit our area. We spoke to the storm and said, go to an unpopulated place. It did exactly what we said to do because God gave us the authority to do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Magic.
Unbelievable. I mean, why do they, I mean, do they, never mind. They really believe this, don't they?
She really believes. I think she does. So this EF4 tornado with wind speeds up to 180 miles per hour was among the 9 confirmed tornadoes that swept through the Dallas area, killing 11 people and destroying more than 1,000 buildings.
So how does she justify that?
Yeah. If I'm reading this right, the tornado that she sent away killed 8 people and destroyed 600 buildings.
Wow.
But I'm not really sure.
Right. But either way, the devastation that happened because of all these tornadoes and... She's just, you know, so happy-go-lucky that it didn't hit her because she commanded it not to.
Right.
You know, go somewhere else. Don't bother me. Go bother someone else. I mean, first of all, the insanity to believe you have that kind of power is just
and then, unreal. And then the audacity to say, go somewhere else and
why didn't she just say, go away?
Yeah, go away.
Yeah.
No more storm.
You know, dissipate.
You know what this reminds me of?
Huh?
Ben Carson's Popeye story.
Okay, where, I don't remember that one. Remember that?
So
no.
His story was he was in a Popeyes, and a guy came up to rob him, and he said, no, don't rob me, rob the guy behind
the counter.
That's
right, I remember that.
Which turns out to be a whole fake story anyway, but the whole thing is still,
don't do it to me, do it to someone else.
Yeah, that's the whole...
I just care about me.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Why?
It's ridiculous on a couple levels. One, the fact that she believes it in the first place, which I'm not... the insanity on that just is... It's mind-numbing. And then second of all, because of the selfishness of, no, don't hurt me, go hurt someone else. I mean...
Yeah.
I just find it... This whole thing just absolutely ridiculous. And I still go back to the whole... She must have been getting interviewed or something at the time that this happened to make media. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she must have. Because I don't know what's going on. Some of these people really are insane.
They really are... nuts because it's not like they're faking it, and it's not like she really truly believes this. I mean, whatever. Anyways, I'm so ready to go on.
Hello everybody, we are Matt
and Tim
from Atheism 101,
the podcast.
We pick a new topic each week, research the crap out of it, and then teach you all about it.
We've done Scientology, Mormonism, Norse mythology, sex, early Christianity, and even an episode on the link between cornflakes and masturbation. Intrigued yet?
After enjoying this fine show, why don't you come on over and give us a try?
You can find the show on iTunes.
Or follow us on Twitter at Atheism101Pod.
Like us on Facebook at Atheism101Podcast.
Or visit our website at Atheism101Podcast.com.
But for God's sakes, don't take our word for it.
Good night.
But speaking of crazies, I have another one.
Seriously? Again?
Yeah. Atheist woman murdered in Arizona for not believing in God.
Oh, that's a different crazy.
Yeah, it's a different kind of crazy.
That's a horrible crazy.
This is a really dangerous crazy.
It's a really bad crazy.
An Arizona woman is dead after authorities say being an admitted atheist led to her murder. Now another woman is behind bars charged with first-degree murder.
But really?
Yeah. 39-year-old Anitra Braxton was arrested the day after Christmas when authorities in Phoenix discovered the body of her alleged victim on the couch in her home.
In her own house?
In her own house. And that gets a little bit crazy from here.
Okay.
I know, right? She reportedly admitted to Phoenix police officers that she had shot the female victim in the eye because she did not believe in God.
Holy crap!
After she allegedly shot the woman in the eye, she propped her up on the couch, wrapped in a towel, and left her there. She called the display a shrine from God.
Holy crap!
And the body was there for a couple days.
Ew.
Yeah.
Holy crap!
Yeah, this woman's...
She is seriously mental.
This is why we need
mental... She's like crazy, bad, awful mental. This is why we need mental.
Real mental institutions.
Nah, we can just close the door and let them all go.
Obviously, because, you know...
Been there, done that.
I don't... This story... I saw this story and I was like, I don't know.
That's I was kinda... going to say, you verified this?
Yes, I verified it. I waited a couple of days and I was like, okay.
And she shot her in the eye?
Shot in the eye.
In her own living room?
In her own living room.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
I mean, do they... Where is that little thing that goes off in your head that tells you... That this isn't right, or that I shouldn't do this.
Well,
that
here's the problem. They have a bigger morality telling them.
That, oh, come on.
No, seriously, they believe what they are doing is somewhat right.
But how can they not have any humanity, compassion, empathy, or feeling of I'm killing someone, taking their life. This isn't okay. Where is that?
I'm not sure. And in this case, I have a feeling it's more than just religion. I have a feeling there's some severe
mental issues with this woman. I was going to say, she sounds, mental.
This is, in my opinion, not much different than the people that are murdering bloggers in
Pakistan. Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, and that's in, you know, other countries. Right. But to... Like I said, I think this lady really does have some mental problems.
When you combine mental illness with religion, it gets really dangerous.
Well, I was going to say, you can have some problems with religion anytime, but when you take someone who's mentally unstable and then, you know, start the evangelicalness aspect of it, you're really wrapping some craziness right there.
Right.
And they can take it to a very dangerous level, which, you know, I'm assuming, in my opinion, is what happened in this case.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, mental unstable and then feed that kind of information. It's like, I can't think of what I was thinking of, but, you know, they have situations where you can have, you know, someone of authority who kind of like puts out there, go do this. You know, they mention an example of something, you know, beating someone up because right. of this. And someone who's listening, who has a little bit of mental instability, doesn't decipher that as you were just talking, right. not meaning for you to go do it. But if they're mentally unstable, that's not how they're going to perceive right. that. They're going to take it and go do what you were just suggesting. And I've actually heard that from Trump, actually. He said a few things that I thought if... You know, someone unstable that's listening might actually go do some of these things. Well, so you have,
I think we've
nobody's seen, watching what they're saying.
I think this year we've seen a few examples of that.
I was thinking of several. So, yeah, I mean, that's just unbelievable that did that.
I will try and keep up with this story and see what happens and see if there's anything else that comes out of it. Because I think there's more to this story than just what's coming up through the wires.
Now, I do have a question. Did she call in and confess that she did this, or did they just find...
They just found it.
Oh.
I have a feeling there was a report of probably a smell or something. I didn't see
that part. I was going to say,
I didn't
you
see
said,
that in the report.
Oh, uh-huh. So. And you said that she left her on the couch for days?
Yeah, she left her on the couch. I went, and she admitted to doing
Why
it.
Why she lived there and did her there, daily activities.
It was a shrine from God.
Oh, that's really creepy. It's like Carrie creepy.
Yeah, that's weird.
I mean, that was in a closet, and it didn't have a dead body, but, you know, the whole shrine thing.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah, like I said, I'll try and keep up with this and see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see an update in a few months because it takes that long to get this stuff through the system.
Yeah.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
I still like that. It's never going to get old for me because I think I'm kind of like right there with him.
32 times you've heard it.
I know, but I really like it because, you know, I kind of agree with that, but I would never do anything that he does.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways.
Anyway, so that means it's time for the Mr. Potter Award.
Obviously.
And we're finally out of Texas.
Yay!
And into Alabama.
Of course.
Where Alabama Governor Robert Bentley used money from the BP Deepwater Horizon oil spill to fund... try that again. I was doing so well.
It was bound to happen.
Yeah. Deepwater Horizon Oil Spill Fund to renovate an abandoned 7,500 square foot beachfront governor's mansion.
Well, that's nice.
It has been sitting empty since 1997.
There it is again.
When Hurricane Danny damaged it.
I don't remember that one.
Well, you didn't live in Alabama.
No, but I always follow the weather. Yeah. But really?
Yeah. So they're spending, what was it, $1.5 million or something like that to completely renovate it.
I assume for himself?
Well, he wants to use it to wine and dine corporate executives into investing money in Alabama.
So for himself?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, what's interesting is that this is adjacent to a property he currently owns.
Again, for himself.
And, you know, it's been suggested that maybe he's doing it to raise property values.
Again, for himself.
Right.
It's all about himself. Hey, that makes him pottery.
Well, it does.
Yep.
But that doesn't make him holy pottery.
No, but because there's always more.
Oh, yeah, I've got more. He wouldn't be a Potter Award winner if there wasn't more.
No, of course not.
Okay, this is the first time that money's been misappropriated in that area. $85 million has already been used to fund a hotel and conference center on the state-owned beach property.
Really?
Of the Deepwater Horizon
money. $85 million?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Now, we need to keep in mind that Alabama just closed 35 DMV offices due to budget cuts.
Because they're in his pockets.
And they recently instigated voter ID laws that say you have to have a state-issued ID to vote.
Did they? Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
So now they've closed down 35 DMV offices in the poorest areas
and require people to
have an ID.
That's awfully convenient. How did that pass? I thought that wasn't supposed to be very constitutional or something.
Well, they're working on that. So voter ID laws aren't unconstitutional. They're horrible ideas.
Yeah.
But they're not unconstitutional.
Because there's many people who can't get access to that.
Right.
And if you conveniently close down places that you get them,
yeah,
makes that even more convenient.
Which was interesting because when I was researching it, he said, well, he said that he would open them back up and he would send an officer to them one day a month. One
Is he
day.
Kidding?
One day. Yeah, that's going to work. Can you imagine the line one day a month?
Or someone who can't get to it on that particular day.
So it's on.
How is any of this legal? I don't understand this.
Because it was voted on.
Are people stupid or are they just not voting?
Yeah.
Which is it? Both?
Yeah.
I mean, because we have this time and time again, these people who are getting voted in who are doing really ridiculous things. But yet they're voted in.
So here's my opinion on this, is that there's a lot of low information voters.
Yeah, I could say that.
And what they do is they vote one or two issues instead of looking at the entire candidate.
Right. That's the one thing that you and I do differently when it comes to voting time for anything. We research each and every single person and, you know, or whatever, you know, their whatever bill or whatever they're trying to pass, we research each one of those, and not just from hearsay, but from the actual...
Right, I go to their actual websites and see what they stand for on their own.
Right, and whatever, you know, thing they're trying to get passed, you know.
I mean, you would imagine I do that. Look at the research I do just for a Potter Award.
Exactly.
That's a weekly thing that has no real effect on the world.
Right.
But
and that's just the thing. You get people who either A, don't vote, or B, when they vote, they're just kind of voting from the skim off the top of stuff.
Or they vote party lines, which happens a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
So there's a lot of people who know nothing about who they're voting for. There's, oh, that's a Republican. Because, I'm voting for them. Right. Oh, that's a Democrat. I'm voting for them.
No. I can't stand that because to me, that's no different. Oh, well, she's a woman, so I'm voting for her. Or, right. Oh, he's black, so I'm voting for him. That irritates the crap out of me. I mean, I'm sorry. You don't vote for someone just because of this or that. You look at what they stand for and you make a decision based on that.
Right. But back to our
podcast. And their actions. Yeah, we're starting to get political. How'd that happen?
I don't know. Anyways. It's part of the show. Now, you might say, what's the big deal of them using BP money to renovate the...
Oh, I think it's a big deal, okay. But fine.
But there's some people like, it's money in the fund. Who cares where it comes from, right?
I disagree, but
fine. However, that money was put aside to repair the environmental damage caused by the oil spill in 2010. I don't think building a beachfront hotel
was part of that. Repairing
environmental damage.
No, not in the least.
However, that doesn't...
There's always more.
Yes. In November, he announced the state of Alabama would not accept refugees from the Syrian civil war following the terror attacks in Paris.
Of course.
The governor's office acknowledged that there were no plans to settle refugees in the state or credible terror threats directed at Alabama, but the statement from Bentley said that he would not place Alabamians in, at even the slightest risk of attack. So let's listen to what he has to say about that.
Oh, a soundbite.
Yes.
Well, I have been told by my law enforcement agency, by Homeland Security, that there have been some major threats against the United States after 9/11, and all of those individuals came out of refugee programs.
You've been told that all of the people who would want to harm the United States have come from refugee programs? Is that what you're saying?
Major threats that have occurred since 9/11, not necessarily all, but the major threats that have been stopped, those individuals came out of refugee programs. That's what I've been told.
And so that informs your position that the refugees are the exact group that you want to target in terms of whom to keep out of the country?
Well, right now, if we just have to make a decision on each individual situation. And right now, the situation is that we have to protect the people of our states. Do we have the authority? Yes, we have the authority.
Okay. He basically said that all major terrorist threats came...
Since 9/11.
Since 9/11 came from refugees.
Yeah. Is the guy making this stuff up?
Well, he was told that. He said that several times.
Yeah, I know that. Doesn't mean it's so. I still think he's making it up.
I think that he doesn't like the refugees. Wow. And he's using a very, very poor argument to keep them out of his state, which he technically can't do.
He says he can.
Oh, he doesn't have that authority.
Oh, but he says he has the power to do so.
Yeah, he says a lot of things that he doesn't have.
I hear this time and time again, though, about the refugees, too.
Yeah, I know.
Which is a whole nother story. But, yeah, he seems to think he can do quite a bit, whatever he chooses, actually.
Yeah, let's look at another instance of where he's being a jerk.
Of course, because you get more than two items.
Oh, yeah.
It comes with many parts.
Yeah. Well, obviously, he doesn't like refugees, but he doesn't like non-Christians either.
So, we're out.
At his 2011 inaugural address, he said... Anybody here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, you're not my brother, you're not my sister, and I want to be your brother. He's proselytizing at his inaugural address.
Now, he said he wants to be?
He wants everybody to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Because he wants to be your brother.
He wants to be your brother. Because right now, if you don't, you're not his brother or his sister.
Yes, they're so loving people. I mean, just... giving out hugs everywhere.
Yeah, that's a bit much. That's over the top, if you ask me.
I mean, besides the whole preaching at a very inappropriate time.
Yeah, you don't preach to your inauguration.
But to disagree with someone who doesn't think like you, or just to say, I pretty much can't stand you because you don't think like
you
I do.
You don't get to hang out with me.
Yeah.
Echo chamber.
And, you know, I hear that time and time again, though. The whole... you don't think like me. And it's always their Christian belief system. And there are so many more religions than just freaking Christianity.
Yeah. But I have one more.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Should we owe your God?
Whatever. Yeah, you know, that's much better.
Yeah, owe your God.
I'm so used to saying that. It's just like cuss words or something.
So, and that's his actions towards public education.
Oh, gosh, we're going to drag school into this, too?
Yes. This year, he signed a law into legislation that amended 2013 Alabama Accountability Act that diverts $30 million a year from the Education Trust for Opportunity Scholarships.
Wait, diverts it?
Yeah, took $30 million away from
scholarships. What the hell?
So basically vouchers, which I'm not a huge fan of vouchers, but you shouldn't take away money from public schools, period.
No.
Okay.
They're having a hard enough time as it is.
He also signed a law allowing charter schools to open in Alabama and give new state commission right to overturn local school districts' rejection of specific charter applications. It's one of the things I don't like. It's another thing is charter schools.
Yeah.
So basically they're private organizations that are paid by the state to educate children.
Yeah, I don't quite get that. That seems like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah,
it's a private education, but it's getting paid by the state.
Yeah, which takes away money from public schools.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If they're a private school, then their butt's responsible for themselves.
Right, and the law gave the commission the right to say that local schools can't reject charter schools.
Huh,
so
really?
They have to take charter schools, which is, wow. This is from the Freedom People.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Sounds like a whipping kind of state.
But the worst thing he's done for education.
Are you going to say more?
Is he appointed Matthew Brown to the Board of Education.
Okay.
So Matthew Brown has no known involvement ever with public schools.
Oh, that's great.
He didn't attend them, and he says his kids will never attend them.
But yet this is his position?
And who led the battle to defeat a school tax vote in his home county? So sitting on the Board of Education in Alabama.
How the?
Is a person who never attended public school, refuses to allow his kids to go to public school, and he fought to remove funding from public schools.
What the hell is he doing there?
Mm-hmm.
And how the hell did he get there?
He was appointed by the governor.
Oh, Mr. Potter.
Yes. Who obviously.
So he fits in perfectly because, once again, it's someone who thinks they're freaking king of their country.
That is correct.
They are god of their country.
That is correct.
Because he's running his own little monarchy, apparently.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Irritate me.
And like I said, the worst thing he's doing is, it looks to me like he is trying to dumb down Alabama.
They're well on their way.
Yeah, they're already pretty far down on
their education. I mean, their education is not that great. At all. But to start doing this, I mean, what is it with Christians and wanting to keep everyone ill-educated?
Well, an educated population means that they're able to read better, which means they can understand better, which means when they actually read the Bible, they see how ridiculous it is.
Or they start to question. Right. I mean, it's like, I swear, we are hearing more and more stories like this. It seems like we're going backwards.
I know.
I mean, they totally want the Dark Ages to come back because that was holy roll awesome days for them.
It was. Well, and at least, you know, the 1800s.
But the 1800s?
Yeah, there was no public school in the 1800s. They were church run.
Well, Dark Ages too. I mean, church had power, like serious power.
That's true.
So it was even more so during that time frame. But, I mean, if you think about it, okay, fine. They're at least trying to go backwards to the 1800s. Because that's all you hear time and time again is, you know, you got some, you know, Christian religious guy who's in a position of power who's always trying to pull, you know, education down or just trying to keep people from knowing things. And just, it's incredible. And, you know, did they not learn from like parenting 101 where they always say, don't tell your daughter not to see this boy because if you do, she's just going to run to him because that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, because if you notice, the non-religious numbers are climbing.
Right.
Which I suppose is why they're like screaming and scratching and crying because they're slowly dying.
Yes.
But
that's why. That's why they're fighting so hard. I see it every day.
It's really exhausting.
It is. But this is what we do. This is what I see.
Yeah, I know. And we see it time and time again. And it's just getting uglier and uglier.
Yeah.
Which will just keep the news rolling more and more.
And on that, I think we're done.
I do believe so. I think I've yakked enough. Right. I just kind of went on and on.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's all good. Better shows.
If you say so.
All right. And we will see you guys
next week.
Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. Sun is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the Sun and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review. If you really like the show, support the show on our Podbean patron page.
I'd buy that for $1.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.